Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think this is definitely maybe his funniest film. Yeah, there's a lot of wild shit that happens in it. Took a while to get going, but when it gets going, it really gets going. So yeah, I did enjoy it, even though I probably could have shaved about half an hour, I reckon.
My other half came down for like the last hour because she was doing something else. And it's, you know, when someone else walks in the room, always a very questionable scene and you have to explain what you're watching. So I was like, let me just quickly recap the last hour and a half here for you so you can understand why you're seeing this man's gigantic penis right now.
Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast. Today I'm joined by Daryl.
Hello.
Petros.
Hi.
Helen.
Hello.
As always, yeah, and we're going to be talking about Red Rocket. Thank you, as always, to Ben from Rockwood Audio for his massively awesome editing skills. And thank you to Mighty People for the tunes you can hear right here, right now. Please do head over to Spotify and or Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star rating and a glowing review. If you want to join the conversation with us, we are on Twitter at FlixWatcherPod or, if you prefer, Instagram at FlixWatcher.
Hello film fans, welcome to FlixWatcher Podcast. Our guests today are Petros and Daryl. Over to you please, Daryl, to say hello to our listeners and tell them a little bit more about who you are and what you do, please.
Hello listeners, I am Daryl. I am one half of Getting Defoe You, a dedicated Defoe podcast where myself and Petros, we've come from our respective Nicolas Cage backgrounds to team up to tackle the filmography of another one of Hollywood's delightful weirdos, Willem Dafoe. So we're going season by curated season, covering all the highs, all the lows, and all things Willem Dafoe, all aboard the Dafoe commotion train.
I feel, I sense, I know in my heart that you say, you put the da in front of a lot of words for shits and giggles.
Oh.
You'd be so correct. You'd be so right.
We've run that joke to the ground, baby.
2 seasons in. It's grating.
You went from Cage to Defoe. Is Defoe as, I don't know how to put this politely, does he have as big swings up and down as Cage though?
I don't think you'll find a YouTube compilation called Willem Dafoe losing his shit, respectfully, but I think he is maybe more known for his sort of facial expressions rather than his emotional outbursts, but he's just kind of just a delightful enigma of a man. We don't really seem to know that much about him. And there was something, I think me and Petros mutually agreed, it felt like a natural spiritual succession to go from Cage to Defoe. And so it's been a delightful journey so far, discovering how much we just enjoy him being in the 80s, what a sexy man he was in his younger days, and still continues to be. You know, there's no judgment here. It's just been a delightful old time.
A bit like a kind of sexy goblin, isn't he?
He's our sexy Defoe daddy.
I mean, it's always good to hit when he's in the film and he's announced as a key role, like with Poor Things recently. And it's good to see he's mucking up with, you know, like Lighthouse, for example. So he's doing a lot of interesting stuff, Defoe. And has he ever actually made the super heights of Hollywood, like megastardom? But he's always been someone who's in and big films in around this kind of area, hasn't he?
Wasn't he one of the most watched on Letterboxd? Was it one year? Wasn't he? Maybe not last year, the previous year.
Is that more testament to just the amount of films he's pumping out on versus the size of the films?
I think it is the demographic of Letterboxd users as well. So he's in a lot of kind of out and out like film fanny films. So like he's in a lot of Wes Anderson. So I imagine a lot of Letterboxd users are logging those. He's in American Psycho. So I think like that it always kind of gets watched by each generation of film sicko.
These are all top picks.
Well, you start speaking there, Petros. Who are you?
I am Petros Patsilvas. I am a father to a small child, and I'm also a podcaster who is the other half of Getting Defoe You.
I wanted you to go full gladiator there. Prior to
it's been a while, yeah. And to kind of answer your question of like the varied career of Willem Dafoe, I think instead of quality swings, Willem Dafoe's like pendulum swings on more like mainstream to art house. So for like every kind of Spider-Man or like Speed 2.
Spider-Man, of course.
There is like an Abel Ferrara film that like you've never heard of. Do you know what I mean?
Antichrist.
Yeah. Or like a Lars von Trier project where he turns up and goes, hey, I'm a bit weird, and then just disappears.
I think I knew in my heart of hearts there was a big film that he'd been a part of in Spider-Man series. And obviously Spider-Man Homecoming, is it the most recent one?
No Way Home.
Yeah, No Way Home. Mm-hmm. There you go. So yes, he has been good. I feel cleansed. Anyway, let's talk about the film we're talking about today, which is Red Rocket. Petros, can you tell us why you chose it? And I'll give you 60 seconds to tell us the synopsis.
I chose this film partly because obviously we are talking about the films of Willem Dafoe on our podcast, and he has done a film that got him nominated for Best Supporting Actor in The Florida Project, also directed by Sean Baker. And Red Rocket is a film that I had watched, I think, I don't know, 2022, and then was like, it's just fascinating. It's a period set film to a very recent period. And I guess for the synopsis, hit that timer, Kobe. It is about Mikey Saber, who is a aging porn actor who decides to go home to his Texas City roots and kind of wangles his way into the life of his ex-wife, current wife still, and tries to turn a 17-year-old donut shop worker into his porn star protege. And that's about it for Red Rocket.
Very nice.
That's fair, isn't it? We spent 2.5 hours nearly talking about, into that synopsis. Helen, time-wise, was this long enough for you? Was it too long?
I mean, I don't really want to get into like the length of this thing.
Like talking about the length of stuff, though.
I found this a little bit long. It took a while to get going for me, but this has been on my watch list for a while. I missed it at the cinema and I noted it had come on Netflix. And then when you picked it, I was like, oh yeah, this is the kick to get down and watch it. But I really, really loved The Florida Project and I love Tangerine as well. So he just makes really interesting films about really interesting people who are not necessarily particularly likable or heroes or have anything kind of specific going on. But I think this is definitely maybe his funniest film. Yeah, there's a lot of wild shit that happens in it. Took a while to get going, but when it gets going, it really gets going. So yeah, I did enjoy it, even though probably could have shaved about half an hour, I reckon.
Oh, that long? That much? Yeah. Daryl, where were you on this?
I think any film that immediately starts with NSYNC, what a ballsy move. Yes, please.
Sorry, immediately starts and continually repeats like it versions in different ways.
Yes. Yeah.
I was like, is she playing Bye 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 again? Okay, now they're playing it again. And now she's playing the piano. And is it, okay, is this a chopped and screwed version? There's like 15 different versions.
Yeah. It's played like backwards at the end, right? It's kind of like,
yeah.
Yeah, when NSYNC is about 75% of your soundtrack, you have my respect immediately.
Oh, really? Name another NSYNC song.
I refuse to. You won't hold me to that. No.
I love the fact that all five members of NSYNC had to sign off on the song being used as well. So it's like,
is that what? Okay.
So like Sean Baker, they're like, dear Justin Timberlake, dear Lance Bang, dear the other three members, like
Joey Fatone. That's one. Don't know another one though. Was he a Backstreet Boy? Anyway, carry on. We're digressing from the film. Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it took a while to get in. I think you knew exactly who he was and what kind of person he was from the moment he knocked on that door to say, oh no, before the moment he rang and was there at the phone, and then his mother-in-law, estranged mother-in-law, answered the phone and was like, oh, fucking this knobhead again. And immediately that had me hooked in to think, okay, I don't know where this is going. I know this is the story of a failed or aging porn star, but I don't know what's going on here. And it irritated me and impressed me in that equal measures that this ostensibly loser kind of managed to wangle his way back into people's lives and they let it happen. And then ultimately when it blows up in their faces or his face, us as the viewer like, well, of course it's going to happen. He's a complete loser. And he just takes other people down with him. Like Lonnie.
Yeah.
Like that guy poor just guy. Doesn't need, he just give a guy a break. He's already not the brightest, doesn't have the most chance in life, is a kindly person. And he has to listen to this guy's bullshit about being a porn person and all these people he's having sex with. And no, I got frustrated, but obviously I think his character's painted really well, right?
Yeah, and I think like on a rewatch, I found it really interesting because obviously you've got this stuff where it's like the Make America Great Again banners up and you get like Donald Trump on like newscasts quite a lot. And like that is kind of a thread throughout it. And it's kind of like Mikey is that kind of character. Do you know what I mean? Like it's kind of like a mirroring of that Donald Trump-esque character where it's like, we don't understand why this guy can get this support behind him, because like any rational person is like, this guy is clearly talking bullshit. Like anytime Mikey opens his mouth, it's just like, that's a lie. Like, do you know what I mean? You're playing the situation. You are kind of being like, I don't know, evil, I think. Like he's kind of like quite an evil guy, but like there is something about his kind of gross charm that seems to like, yeah, win people over, and like they just seem to fall in love with him and just invite him. Do you know what I mean? The way he's invited back into his ex-wife's life and then into her bed, like into this kind of situationship, and then he's kind of like reconnecting and makes his way into Strawberry's life and this kind of, and then is, yeah, dictating to her like, you should dump your boyfriend. And so he's reprehensible, but there is, I don't know if it's Simon Rex, who's like somebody have quietly been like, I don't know, curious of for years. I think ever since seeing him in Scary Movie 3, I was like, he was the best thing about that film. And then like just kind of seeing him on Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that, and like vaguely following his not so good rap career. Yeah, he's an interesting character.
I've known nothing about him before this movie. I have definitely seen Scary Movie 3, but I can't tell you anything about it. It would have been once when I was at university and then thought, I think I've tapped out of these basic Scary Movie type films.
He has quite strange morals, how like impersonating an army guy is completely off limits.
The worst.
However,
yeah,
grooming a young woman is like completely fine.
He seemed so happy when he found out that she was legal. Like, he was, yeah, like the happiest person in the entire world. And I was like, dude. But as many times I was like, dude.
As if my kind of like, my Google searches aren't kind of run into the ground enough. I found myself going, what is the legal age of consent in Texas? It's like, oh, here we go. Like...
Yeah, because I just assumed it was 18. So I thought he was going to wait until she turned 18 before he pounced. Anyway,
yeah.
So that's this guy we're dealing with. And he doesn't seem that stupid because he managed to like make a load of money from selling weed quite quickly and he put himself in a stronger position than he was when he first arrived. Mm-hmm. Ostensibly, in my mind, he could have coasted and like lived not the high life, but like a comfortable-ish life and been surrounded by people who actually quite liked him for reasons we still don't understand.
He could have done, but that kind of personality is not enough for him. No. Yeah,
that's it.
He's the kind of guy who convinced a girl in 3 weeks to do porno.
Yeah. And she listened. Lots of people complicit in this.
Yeah, and I think that's where it comes back to that like Donald Trump thing, right? It's like on the outside, you look in and go like, how are people going along with this?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. How is this happening? How is this even a thing? So, I mean, I've not seen Tangerine or Florida Project, and they are two massive kind of holes in my oeuvre of film watching. But, Tangerine came on scene because of the way it was shot and also because the story is, you know, a good one. So how does that compare? How does this compare with the previous ones in terms of stylistic and also storytelling chops?
This is where I admit I haven't seen them either. Since starting Defoe, like getting Defoe, you any kind of Defoe film I haven't watched, even though Florida Project has been on my list for the longest time it's kind of like, now I want to save myself for when we cover it on that podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like slicker. Like Tangerine's got this kind of energy that's obviously shot on...
on the phone.
Yeah, on a phone. So it's very much more handheld and the story is very kind of chaotic and the characters are very loud and larger than life and everything's very surreal and all the colours are kind of like high contrast. So that's kind of the vibe. And the Florida Project has a lot more kind of like heart in it and definitely more kind of a narrative and a story. So Florida Project probably looks a little bit more like Red Rocket in terms of like the colours of the houses and the colour themes and the way that it's shot. But this definitely feels a little bit slicker in its use of music, just the, like kind of the way it looks and...
the use of the music.
The music, yeah. But yeah, I think the Florida Project is slightly more my favourite because of the kind of story and the kind of like the kids in it and their kind of stuff that goes on. But I'd recommend them both. If you enjoyed this even in a little bit, then they're both... definitely things you should watch.
Yeah, I think from reading about Sean Baker as well, is like from all of it, is he just doesn't take a judgment on the people he's making films about. And like, I guess that's what makes this one a bit more of a harder pill for people to swallow, because in the Florida Project, it's people who you can watch and be like, oh, they are objectively kind of in a situation that is out of their control and they are kind of, for want of a better term, fucked. Whereas this is like, doesn't take that judgment call on this guy who is probably adjectively bad guy. Like, but the film kind of doesn't go either way on the fact of saying, it doesn't go any way to condemn Mikey's actions. But at the same time, I don't think it goes on any strong lengths to be like, let's glorify like kind of grooming this girl. It is kind of, and like the shots as well, the uses of like the kind of zooms and the kind of whip pans and stuff like that reminds me of like 70s cinema, where it's kind of like, we're just going to show you these dirt bags. We're not saying it's cool or anything like that. It's kind of, this is just how people are and you can kind of take it or leave it. And like, yeah, it was quite funny reading Google reviews. I immediately went to the one stars and they were kind of like, a lot of people being like, this film glorifies paedophilia and stuff like that. And it's like, I didn't necessarily think that. Like, I think the film, and I don't know, I'd like to give Sean Baker the benefit of a doubt that he's like, yeah, I'm just showing you a slice of life from this absolute dirtbag. And like, hopefully you're intelligent enough to go, yeah, that guy's a dirtbag.
Yeah, before we get to the scores, when he got his comeuppance-ish at the end, when he's kicked out of his ex-wife's life, what did you guys think about it? Were you like cheering? Were you like, get out?
Suitcase idiot. Pimp!
Just an excuse for some more NSYNC, and I'm standing up, fist pumping the air, going, let's go. But then also, what a hog. Which I understand from podcast interviews was a prosthetic, because my other half came down for like the last hour because she was doing something else. And it's, you know, when someone else walks in the room, always a very questionable scene and you have to explain what you're watching. Yeah. I was like, let me just quickly recap the last hour and a half here for you so you can understand why you're seeing this man's gigantic penis right now. It's just...
Has anyone seen a TV show called How To with Don Wilson?
No.
Exact same thing happened with me when, like, I was watching this TV show and Sarah, my wife, walks in halfway through an episode and I was like, I can't explain now what's going on, but you're going to just think I'm a weirdo. But honestly, watch it later.
I had to try and explain Twin Peaks to an ex of mine with episode 8 of The Return, which is like the most bonkers hour of television that ever has existed. And I was like, it's not normally like this. Normally it's a small town in Washington. I promise. It's not normally black and white. The insides of an explosion. I don't know what's going on either.
But he got his comeuppance, but then he went back to Strawberry at least. And did that happen or was that a fantasy?
I think it's a fantasy. I think we can assume it's a fantasy. He's continuing to live his silly little life inside his silly little head. A silly little NSYNC continues to play and everything's all silly. And I think he's just got all his clothes in a bin bag, which is kind of seems about right for a character like Mikey Sabre.
It's
for a suitcase pimp.
It is that, or it is that kind of ultimate damning ending where it is like, you know what? People like this always bounce back, baby.
Somehow. Okay, let's head to the scores.
I'm Sam Clements, host of the 90 Minutes or Less Film Festival, another podcast in the Stripped Media family, a podcast that celebrates movies under 90 minutes long. Each episode, I'm joined by a special guest who selects a movie to join our prestigious lineup. Past guests have included fellow Stripped Media family members Martin and Sam from Song by Song, and Kobe from Flixwatcher, and Dave from The Wire Stripped. Search for us now on the app you're currently listening to this podcast, or join us at 90minfilmfest.com.
Welcome to the Flixwatcher scores. All of the scores are out of 5, and you can have decimal places if you wish. And we will start with you, please, Petros, because you picked it with your recommendability.
I toiled with this because I think, like when I said about the Google reviews, there are certain people you would recommend this film to and be like, you're gross. Like, how could you, like, you're a part of, like, I don't know, yeah, paedophile Hollywood, like glorifying this filth. And it's, so I reckon on that basis, it's a 3.8 for me, which like is kind of middling. People I know who are kind of cine literate would be like, check it out, it's good stuff. But I'm not recommending it to my parents. They'd be like, you're sick in the head.
Daryl?
So I gave this for recommendability, I rounded it up to a 4. So I thought, you know, let's not deal in the points so early on. I didn't really know much about this before I saw it at the cinema. I sort of aware of it because Simon Rex was part of that Hollywood roundtable like a year or two ago. I was like, oh, Red Rocket, that seems interesting. Like we've all discussed, it's just a very sort of slice of life look into this Americana, this strange town. And I enjoyed that, like, all but 3 of the actors, I think, were just local people. This was the...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I think it was Simon Rex, Bree Elrod, who plays Lexi, and Suzanne Sun, who plays Rayleigh Strawberry, were the only sort of 3 actors. Everyone else was just like okay. Local. Simon Rex said in interviews that sometimes they just didn't turn up to set. Which I just thought was like, I just love a fun story of like a making of movie. But I just like this, there is a kind of like a realness to it, just like that sort of grittiness. I like the grain on the camera. I like the sort of crash zooms. And I love the sort of like comeback story because Simon Rex was like, you know, this is the movie that kind of put him back on the map. He said in interviews, this was the movie that made him say, you know what, I'm proud to be an actor. And I think you can kind of get that vibe as well on screen. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed revisiting it. So it was a 4 for me.
Helen.
Yeah, I'm also going to go with a 4. I think if you're familiar with his films and kind of his vibe, then you'll enjoy it. I think if you're an NSYNC fan, maybe also you might enjoy it. I don't know. Maybe not.
You might enjoy it or hate it.
You might hate it. But yeah, I agree with what you said. It's just, they're obviously fictional characters, but these people exist in America. He's obviously drawn from real kind of experiences and they're kind of like the forgotten people, but they exist and maybe not quite to the extent of some of the wild things that happen in this bit. That is their kind of lives. And it's not great, but then they're kind of forgotten by society as well. And they're just kind of doing what they can do to survive. So it's an interesting film. I did think The Florida Project is probably an easier film to recommend, but that said, this is pretty funny. And like, who knew donuts were so cheap? Like, they're like $6 for like some donuts and some coffees and stuff. I was like, whoa, it's way cheap.
At least,
like £6.
At least 3 coffees.
Yeah.
3 coffees and multiple donuts.
And some donut holes.
Yeah,
get learn all about donut holes,
baby.
Yeah,
that's Texas City for you in Texas. I'm going to go for 4 as well. It was something I was looking forward to watching, and it was one that was lauded, and I just never got around to watching. I think tail end of the pandemic and lack of access to the cinema kind of smited it. So it was always going to be a streaming view for me. I'm surprised this is the first of Sean Baker films I've seen, so I need to rectify that quickly. And you know, as much as we talk about him being a irreprehensibly smart but stupid loser. You know, Simon Rex, he played it to a T. He gave me those emotions. He made me think he was a loser. He made me really question my sanity as I'm watching this person. Like, why did, the moment he told his Lexi that he had $3,000 underneath his bed, I was like, mate, well, you're
that's going to come back.
That's going to come back. And he was using it like a source of pride. Look, you've got $3,000 under your bed. I was like,
not for very long, mate.
Have that by the end of this film, mate. Yeah. So yeah, 4. Repeat viewing score, Petros.
It's a 4 for me. I've obviously watched it twice now, and it's not going to be like in the heavy rotation, but I think it's going to be definitely one I do revisit, because I think, especially as time passes, I think it will kind of be like a time capsule of America in 2016, even though it was obviously filmed later, and kind of has something to say about the kind of times we're living in and what we allowed to happen. And we, as much as, yeah, Simon Rex's character is reprehensible, there are moments where you're like, this is a broken system, where it's like, oh, just because he's, I don't know, yeah, porn might for some people be a questionable choice of work, but he just can't get a job because that's what he's been doing for 17 years. And I just think of like, oh, if that was like any, imagine it would be the same thing for an actor. Do you know what I mean? If you've kind of been on low level acting for like 17 years, so be like, your CV is fucked, mate. You've got nothing on here. Do you know what I mean? You're like a bit part character in Casualty or something. You're the corpse of the week on Columbo or something. And they're like, yeah, you're not going to get a job serving tables.
But it's quite funny when he chose to tell people about his porn past.
Yes.
It's quite strange that when he convinced Strawberry to dump her boyfriend, quote unquote, and he said, look, just look me up on porn. Why are you telling him that? What's going on there? That makes no sense. And then when he was trying, when he was going for the job interviews and failing, he was like, well, you might want to check out, put Mikey Sabre into Google, incognito, don't tell anyone. Because then you'll see my penis. And he's like, how is that going to help you get this waiting job? I don't know what's wrong with you. But Lonnie seemed to love it, his porn past. Or did he? Was he just like, I've got someone to talk to now for a bit so I can just hear something else other than my own thoughts? I don't know. Sorry, Daryl, your repeat viewing score.
I gave it a 3. I think very similar reasons to Petros. I think it's a very interesting time capsule of America in this sort of generation. I don't think necessarily it's going to be a heavy rotation film for me either. But if I want to sort of pick me up of like NSYNC, then I'll certainly be revisiting this one. And I don't know what it is, these kind of movies with these dirtbags front and center. There's something about these films where, you know, these ostensibly scummy people don't learn anything. They just,
oh no, yeah.
There's just no real redeeming qualities. They continue to make bad decisions. Bad things happen because they're just around. And then by the end of it, it's kind of like, you're not really any better off than where you started. So,
He's got hope, potentially. He's got a new porn prodigy or someone. I don't know who suggested that. Was that you, Petros? Yeah. Helen, so 3 there.
I'm also going to join Dow with a 3. Yeah, you're so right. Like, he'll have come out of that going, well, that was everyone else's fault. Poor Lonnie, just in the wrong place, the wrong time with Mikey, poor guy.
And he protected him for whatever reason.
I know.
Although I'm not sure what could possibly have happened to Mikey, because he was a passenger in the car, and I'm not sure what could have happened to him.
Well, he told him to take the turn, so Lonnie could have said...
I know he told him to take the turn, but ostensibly in the eyes of the law, he wasn't the one that was driving, so I'm not sure what he could have done, what could have happened to him. But still, the fact that Lonnie was happy and willing to take the fall for him completely, it was just like...
I got a real... Like, I might say something about my personality, but like the first time I watched that, I just laugh so much, just like at the kind of like how dark that moment is, just kind of almost out of like nervousness and just like this.
What the fuck?
Film has taken such a dark turn that they've literally like a truck as well. Yeah, like fish knife.
22 car pile up.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's an easy film to watch. I don't think I'll be watching that often. I do. Certainly, like I say, want to watch the previous two Sean Baker films, and just based on this one, I will be watching his career closely. So let's go for a 3 as well. Join you guys on the 3. Small screen score, Petros.
So small screen score for me, I would say a 4.5, because I think it does work well on the small screen. I didn't catch this one at the cinema. I think I watched this on, I don't know, paid VOD or something like that. I can't remember, but I was really looking forward to seeing it. And I think it works well. It kind of, it almost, apart from obviously the period setting of 2016, is like shot like a 70s movie, has that like grain and grit of a 70s movie. And like, as much as those films look great on a cinema, like they kind of, I think it's my programming and seeing most of those films on a TV as opposed to in the cinema. It's like, it just looks, it still looks great. The kind of oversaturation on the cinematography and the, yeah, it works well at home. And you don't feel as dirty as well watching this film. And if you're watching this in the cinema, you're like, ugh, I feel a bit gross.
Daryl.
So I gave this a 4, I think, from cinema to TV. Still held up. I had pretty much the same experience as watching it in the cinema as I did at home. I think when I saw it in the cinema, I think it was still that weird time where you can sort of go to the cinema, but not really anyone wanted to. So I was in there with about 4 people. So I think, as like Petra was saying, I did feel a little bit dirty actually, but no one was there to see it. Felt a little bit less dirty on a repeat viewing though, but yeah, same experience for me. So a 4 from me.
4. Sorry, Petra, I missed your score.
Oh, was it 4.5?
Yeah. 4.5. Helen.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen this at the cinema, just supporting smaller films and also watching it in a slightly awkward situation next to the residents of West Norwood, I think would be quite funny. But yeah, sadly, the weird cinema was not quite back, but it was sort of back. That didn't work out for me. So I'm going to give it 4.5. I still think it's fine, but I would have liked to have seen it on the big screen.
Yeah, I think I definitely would have liked to see this in the big screen. I think just to, for that community collective experience. Sorry, Daryl, that there's only 4 people, including yourself, or as well as yourself, in the screening, because I think I'm sure I would have got a few laughs. It would have been good to be.
Don't cry for me. Don't cry for me.
Oh, I won't do. Engagement score, Petros.
My engagement score, another 4 for me, because I think like it starts like kind of bang, you're in with it, and then it's like, I just want to see how far this guy can push it. Like, kind of like, it's one fuck up to the next, and it's kind of, where is Mikey gonna go now? Like,
so, what dumbass thing is he gonna...
Yeah, exactly. It's like watching a Rube Goldberg machine, do you know what I mean? But it just ends in, I don't know, shit getting splattered at the end.
Daryl.
So I gave it a 3.5 for engagement score. Like, it was, I think, a very like interesting film to watch sort of all the way through. But I think it's one of those, because it's very character driven. It's very much how Mikey is affecting everyone around him. He's basically the weirdness in this sort of already fly-over-state ecocosm. I guess it depends where you pause it, because there are a number of adult scenes, shall we say. But I think Rube Goldberg Machine was kind of a great way to describe it, because it's just an increasing series of strange events happening to a ridiculous man.
Yeah, how they can connect.
And how it all connects. But watch anything the whole way through, if you can. But yeah, 3 from me.
Helen.
Yeah, I was just going to add, so this Netflix, 98% thought I would be a match for this film. I forgot to say that earlier. So it's pretty high. So it did quite well, Netflix. Well done. I'm going to give it a 4. I think it probably is a little bit long. But yeah, I was engaged and pretty much like, where is this going to go next? Like, you can't get away with this. Like, how can you get away with this? Like, no, she's sleeping with him. And then, whoa. And then everything happens quite fast at the end. And she had to rewind like the scene after the accident. Because I was like, what did I miss? Like, I must have missed something. And then I was like,
Yeah.
What? So yeah, I was engaged to the point where I was like, what did I miss? And then it's like, okay, yeah.
A low budget movie.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it works kind of, I kind of liked it, because the setup for it is so huge and the shock factor, and you're just like, I was not expecting that at all. So well done for the setup.
I did quite like, I think obviously with more budget, there would have been a visible car crash, but I think it would have not cheapened it, but I think it would have made it worse, because I did like the way, like you said, like you were, Helen was like, did I miss something in that kind of seconds? And Lonnie's then puking up by the side of his car, and then you kind of reveal what's happened as a result. I think it does kind of catapult you along, just that sequence there.
Yeah.
So I think it does work.
It's like a long episode of Kirby Enthusiasm, but like with like even more reprehensible guy than Larry David. Like, Larry David, at least like kind of, I don't know, 50% of the time, maybe more, you go, he has got a point. Like, whereas Mikey is like, oh no, he's way off base here.
So four, I'm going to go engagement four as well. I just didn't know where it's going to go. I didn't know where it's going to settle. And that kept me on somewhat tenterhooks. And I was just enjoying the vibe. Where it ended was nowhere near where I thought it was going to end when the film started. And that's great. And I enjoy the ride. I was quite surprised. I mean, someone talked about adult scenes, but there weren't that many that weren't that explicit. So I was expecting more based on the premise going into it, thinking it's going to be a bit more explicit than it was. Yeah, I was engaged. I was hooked in all the way through. That gives us an overall score of 3.800000, which is decent.
It's pretty good.
It's decent. It was the repeat viewing score that let it down slightly. Thanks a lot, guys. Petros and Daryl, can you sign off by telling everyone where we can find you online? And we'll say goodbye to the listeners.
You can find us wherever you get podcasts. All you have to type in is Getting Defoe You. We love a good pun. And you can find us on all of the socials. So that is Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Blue Sky, all at Defoe You Pod. And yeah, come along. We are in the throes of season 3 as we speak, having fun getting to know Willem Dafoe.
Is there going to be a Jermaine Defoe spin-off at some point?
Maybe. I did get excited because I think he's recently had a documentary and I was like, Defoe? Oh no, it's an E, not an A. And
guys, thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Enjoyed this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast? Why not leave us a 5-star review on iTunes? You can also follow us at FlixWatcherPod on Twitter, and we're at FlixWatcher on Instagram. Thanks as always to the mighty people for their mighty, mighty tunes and Rockwood Audio's editing skills. If you're looking to get your podcast edited as sweet as this, get in touch with Rockwood, R-O-K-K Wood Audio. Tell them FlixWatcher sent you.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.